everyone. I'm Matt Grundler.
And I'm Laura Grundler. And today on K-12 Art Chat, the podcast, we'll be chatting with Chris Bakke about preparing for and promoting Youth Art Month.
All right. Well, here we go.
Starting we have another K-12 Art Chat with another fun and new friend of the podcast and Twitter chat, Chris Bakke. And we were super excited to meet her at our state conference in Texas. Debbie West introduced us to her.
She did. She's like, "Do you know Chris?" And we're like, "No."
And she's like, "How do you not know each other?" And we don't know, but now we know each other. And now she's here. So welcome to the podcast, Chris.
Oh my gosh. The fact that you even used super excited together just makes me super excited. And I find it always so interesting because, like, when we go to NAEA and they have like a keynote speaker and you all are like fanning over these keynote speakers, that's how I felt meeting you guys. Like, aww. Oh my gosh. Art teachers, and they're awesome. So it's my favorite thing, and it was delightful meeting you guys in Texas.
Wow, we're so glad to connect.
What we usually like to do at the beginning is kind of have our guest kind of tell a little bit about you and your art journey. So if you could kind of impart some of that wisdom with our listeners.
All right. And I just cut me off because I could drag this out forever. It's an amazing journey. I was lucky enough about 18 years ago, almost 19 years ago, to get a job at NASCO Education, and particularly in the art department. I was the arts and crafts sales director, and I didn't even know really who my customer was. And then I found out that it was art teachers. I'm like, that sounds fun. And then I met the world of the most amazing, zany, unique, creative, genius, servant heart humans. Mm-hmm. And I 100% fell in love. Through that opportunity, I got the next opportunity, which is to serve on the board for the Council for Art Education. And the Council for Art Education is a not-for-profit organization that was started by the Art and Craft Safety Material Institute. And when I say that, a lot of people are like, ACMI, don't really know who that is or what that is. But when I say the little AP label that you see on lots and lots of art materials, then they're like, oh. And so ACMI really wanted to advocate for art education in schools. And this was a way to create a separate board that would spend their time doing that while ACMI did all the important safety stuff. And yet, this is extremely close to ACMI. They are our primary funder and sponsor, and it's phenomenal. And so I have served on that, I would say, probably about 15 years. I've been a past president. I am back in the role of vice president, which I'm much better at than president. I'm a good support, encourager, you know, crazy thinker, but I always need somebody organized and way smarter than me in the lead. And Phyllis Wang from Pentel is mm-hmm. currently in that role. And the other thing that I just want to add is while I work for Royal Brush Manufacturing as the art education manager as of almost a year ago, super excited about that. This board is made up of a wide variety of people in our industry and organizations. Organizations like BLIC and School Specialty and NASCO and PACON, AMICO, SCUT, MAKO. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. I'm sure that I am. But the cool part is sometimes you hear something like AMICO and SCUT and you're like, well, they both sell kilns. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. This is all for one and one for all. This is where we come together and everybody loses their agenda as competitors And we all agree that without art education, the world would be a horrible place. So it's a really, really cool organization, and their primary function is Council for Art Ed. So that's sort of what brings me to this place. But let me tell you, come see me at NAEA and I will give you my full story on my art journey, you know, plan on hours.
Well, I have to ask, so the Council for Art Education, you know, I don't know that a lot of people, our whole Twitter chat was about Youth Art Month. And I don't know a lot of people understand the connection between the Council for Art Education and Youth Art Month. Yep. So or maybe even the history, or, you know, when it started. So let's dive into that for just a minute. If you could give some background about that connection.
Yep. Way back when, and quite honestly, and I might, knowing me, I probably will get the dates wrong. I'm terrible with numbers. I'm just all visual and heart and passion. But we truthfully, understand. It was way back in the 60s, and I think it was 1965. It may or may not be the year that I was born, that NAEA and ACMI, neither one of them were fully developed to who they are now, but in the state that they were in, just came to an agreement that March is Youth Art Month. And that's how it became a month. And I do air quotes, because now when we talk about YAM, Youth Art Month, it is truly a year-long event, a year-long program. And so sometimes that gets really confusing. So ACMI then went a little bit further with this idea of, well, if we're going to celebrate art in March, let's prepare teachers for that month and give them ideas on what to do. And so slowly things just built on each other. And eventually you had what's called a Youth Art Month program. And one part of it is just simply where a teacher decides, I'm going to do Youth Art Month. And so they might have an event at their school. And then maybe from there, they join their state or their region, and there's a regional event. And then there's a state event. A lot of the state art education associations have Youth Art Month coordinators, and every state should have one. And I think just about every state does, but it's really hard to communicate out. And as teachers, you guys probably fully understand, it's difficult to communicate within your own district, let alone across a region and the whole entire state. You guys are in Texas, which
I was going to say,
an entire country.
We have Tiffany Silverthorne, just shout out to her, because she manages Youth Art Month for the entire state of Texas. And this is a giant state. So, yeah.
Right. And honestly, when state associations get behind their Youth Art Month coordinator, that helps tremendously. Council for Art Education, if you go to the councilforarteducation.org, the website gives lots and lots of information. Our website has some room for improvement, but good news, we just recently got some funding, and we're going to have some improvements in the next year and a half or so. So I probably got a little convoluted with that answer, but that's sort of how it began. And probably, I think it was around 1983-ish. I'm making that up too, because that's the year I graduated. it's close. That's how I get them. But in the 80s is when Youth Art Month, the program, really culminated and started. And now it is truly celebrated in March. Mm-hmm. And we bring it to the National Art Education Association Conference to really highlight what we can at that conference.
You know, Chris, I mean, I think that was a perfect segue, because the next question that we started talking about was the idea of advocacy, and that being the goal of the council's mission, basically. And I think a lot of art teachers, you know, want an additional reason to advocate for their programs.
I don't know that they want it. They need new ideas and more venues for advocating. They know they need
another opportunity, another
exactly
place
opportunities.
Really,
yeah.
Well, and honestly, what I find, you guys, is that now look at me already cutting the host right off.
Like, no, it's all great. Goodness.
But what I find is often you guys do, art teachers do what they do on a daily basis the best that they can, and it's within the parameters of their school and maybe even their school district. And they're taking their passion. They're giving mm-hmm. everything that they have. They've learned their experiences, their tips, their techniques, all to somebody else for them to be successful. And when they are, y'all are so happy. And so I don't know that there's this other agenda of how do I advocate for this program? Because if I do what I do, hopefully that is some advocacy.
Yes.
And yet, when I see somebody who gets art out in the community, out in front of their school district and administration, out in front of the parents, and really highlight it, that their program becomes stronger. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how within a youth art month, like award program or just a celebration or like, you know, a night of youth art month, it's amazing what it does for a community and family to say, wow, this is really important.
Yeah. You know, and I was thinking about just during our Twitter chat, I shared some photos of, you know, we're in a large school district, so we have to break it up into a secondary night and an elementary night. And, you know, something I was talking to a teacher about the other day is, one of the best joys is seeing the families come in and see their kids work on a wall. We're about to open a gallery space, a true professional gallery space for our district, and Youth Art Month will be our first show there.
Oh, and that is so cool.
I know, right? And, you know, but the joy in it is just seeing it, you know, the little kids dress up, which is just an,
oh my
amazing.
Gosh, little kids in like a yes. like kindergartner in a suit and tie and a just love it. And I love yes. seeing progression. And like, sometimes mm-hmm. you get, you know, a high schooler and, you know, they might have blue hair and, yep. you know, cool, just this mm-hmm. amazing style that I think to myself, oh, I wish I could go back to high school and look like her or him or them. And it's just, and grandparents that couldn't be mm-hmm. any more conservative with them, so proud of them. And I yes. like that kind of stuff. Sometimes they have a small entourage of people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
You know, and then there's the teachers that bring their whole art club in support of two students. Like,
mm-hmm. yep.
cool.
It's beautiful. And I was just thinking, you know, so what we do is we have the show, the exhibit that goes up for the whole month of March, and then we close it with a celebration. You know, we also participate in our state competition. It's not a competition. It's an exhibit, but you could, you know, they have to select, this is Texas. They have to select, not everybody gets in the exhibit because it's a really big exhibit.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm wondering, you know, from your perspective, you've gotten to see different things that different states have done, different local communities have done. What have you seen people do and participate in or create?
It's some pretty amazing stuff. And the first thing that I want to say is that at Youth Art Month, like each teacher kind of has the authority to say, I want to send this art. And what I love is that I have seen art from students with like special abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that kind of just inclusiveness mm-hmm. is amazing. Like, I love, love, love that this can be a wide variety, because art is so, it's subjective, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always get those mixed up. But, you know, on any day, any piece of art could truly be what somebody deems as, you know, the Youth Art Month piece for that state. Some states give out awards, some states don't. Sometimes the awards are like juried by some teachers. Sometimes it is like a BLIC or a school specialty or a NASCO award. And those folks might get to judge just on what makes their heart happy. Mm-hmm. I love that sometimes it is at their state capital, yeah, or in a public place. Wisconsin, which is where I'm from, so that's the reason I can draw on that often, got so big that the Capitol Rotunda just couldn't contain all the people.
Wow. Yep.
So then they, so the Easttown Mall in Madison, Wisconsin, opened up their entire like court area for them. Wow. And did a boatload of marketing. So really fun, interesting things that different states do. And it always has an element of community. They get some leaders of the community to often speak. Sometimes the governor shows up at places, or the first lady of the state, which is really cool. Louisiana has that. I think Texas.
We do.
Yeah.
She actually picks
a piece of art, right?
10.
Oh, yeah.
So 10. She chooses 10 works of art that are called the Governor's Gallery and our First Lady. And this is where, like, kind of like what you said about the Council for Art Ed, you can kind of just let go of your politics for a minute and just say, you know what, we're doing great things for kids. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so she chooses 10 pieces and those hang in the governor's office area. And our show is actually across the street from the Capitol because we're also kind of big. So it's at the Bob Bullock Museum. And we do a big celebration in March where we invite all the families that can travel to the museum. It's a really special trip. And they get donations from different, I think probably BLIC and Saks or whoever.
Right.
And they give the kids like a sketchbook and like, it's just really, it's very special. And it's nice to hear the governor's wife, you know, mm-hmm. comment on the different pieces of art.
Absolutely. Also, too, I do know I forgot that also Joann's joined us.
Oh, and that
was exciting because they're a little bit more retail, mm-hmm. but they get lots of teachers who shop in their stores. And mm-hmm. so what a another fun way to have some advocacy in terms of that. And we're always looking for new partners in the industry or related to the industry. So that was a little side note on that when you were talking about fun things that people do. And it's amazing how lots of local businesses will support a state's Youth Art Month. And I would encourage teachers to not only look for the folks that they see at state shows and NAEA, but also within their community. It's amazing how, you know, banks and children's museums and different organizations want to be part of something like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, we did talk a little bit about how when you have a local show, a Youth Art Month show, that it's such a great way to build the local community by, you know, having the entire family come in and you get to have these, you know, positive connections with the kids and see them all dressed up but there's also that really simple way to kind of leave a positive impact. You know, we were talking about like different awards and things like that, but even just giving them, you know, maybe just a certificate, just a moment of recognition, yeah, along with them seeing their piece matted when it's been matted. Oh my gosh, their jaw hits the ground.
They're just elevated.
Like, oh yes. And hanging mm-hmm. up. I mean, that is something that I have like addressed when I've been asked to speak at either a regional or at the Wisconsin conference. I'm always like, you are in a public place. Your art is hanging in a public place mm-hmm. in gallery style. This is artist's dream. This is what people aspire to. And this is you. And I always often compare also to, like, in March, lots of state tournaments are happening as it applies to, like, basketball. And I had a son, and I had a son who played basketball and was lucky enough for his team to go to the state championship. And it was exciting for sure. But it was weird because as much as I was invested in this game, I didn't go home that day and feel like playing basketball. But every time I go to Youth Art Month, I swear I take some pictures and a ton of times it's an elementary kid's picture. And I think I'm going to try to recreate that. That's gorgeous. I love it. And I always am inspired to go home and want to do art or think about the next time I do art. And I'm like, you are inspiring. And, you know, and whether you have won an award or not, on any given day, yours is somebody's favorite, which is exciting.
You know, I was thinking about that too, because during the Twitter chat, we did talk about how you choose the art for Youth Art Month and the criteria and those things. And I, you know, as the coordinator of my district and our Youth Art Month program that we do, I really encourage teachers to choose kids that show growth, that show a love of making art, a love of the process of making art, and not necessarily to focus on that subjective, most beautiful, that kind of thing. Because I feel like Youth Art Month is really for that uplifting building of creative confidence for kids.
Exactly. There has been a couple situations that I have seen and where I've known the teacher and they were like, I picked this piece of art because this student went from here all the way up to here, and their excitement and their passion has developed into something that you can now see on the paper. And that's super exciting. And I love it too. There was a circumstance where I was at a Youth Art Month show and somebody came up to the teacher and said, can you point me in the direction of this artist, this student, because they loved this alligator so much, they wanted to make a t-shirt out of it.
Oh, wow.
And so they were like negotiating with the student and the parents on, could they buy the piece of art so that they could make a t-shirt out of it? How fun is that?
Yeah. I've actually had that happen after Youth Art Month exhibits where I'll have, because I'm the coordinator, people will reach out to me and say, I saw this work of art. I really want to purchase it. And that's when I, you know, reach out to the teacher for the teacher to reach out to the parent and connect the parent to this adult that wants to buy the artwork, not the child. And then they can work it out, you know?
Yes.
But it is, I will say for kids, you know, what's more exciting, just kind of like what you said about your artwork hanging in a museum or a gallery, to sell a work of art?
Holy cow. For somebody wanting to buy it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Actually, I did.
You did?
I did. Dr. Seuss.
That's right. Many, many years ago, I saw a piece of artwork that I just fell in love with.
Laura's a big Dr. Seuss fan.
Yeah. And Matt, it was when our kids were little and it was this mother reading a Dr. Seuss book to their child. And Matt,
all you saw were feet.
Yeah.
It was funny. Just, and like the Dr. Seuss book, and it was purple, which is also Laura's favorite color. But
you reached out to the teacher and then we got a print of it and it still hangs in my office to this day.
That is so super cool. And I do love businesses that have picked out art and let it hang in there, like the First Lady of Texas. That happens a lot in different states. And I always think that is pretty high praise.
You know, we've talked about local, like as far as our school or school district. We've even talked about our state. But what I want to kind of focus on was one of your questions of, you know, is it important, or maybe I should say, why is it important for a organization like NAEA, you know, our national organization, to recognize it? Why is that so important?
For me, looking from the outside in, you know, I serve art educators for a living, and Council for Art Education serves art educators, and the National Art Education Association is really the national association that brings us all together to serve you. And so I feel like because they are at that level, it is important for them to know, quite honestly, if for some reason all of us were sleeping on our jobs and forgot about Youth Art Month, it would happen, because there are thousands of teachers out there making this work. And I mean, I think one time we, and this was, boy, I bet you this was about 10 years ago, we sort of did like some pretty rough math, and it ended up being, I'm not even joking you, like 800,000 students participating in Youth Art Month. And that number can only be growing. Pandemic might have brought it down a little bit. But quite honestly, even in the pandemic, it was crazy how many virtual shows there were, and how people were still acknowledging Youth Art Month and Facebook posts and Instagram posts and all kinds of creative things happening. So one really amazing thing that the National Art Education Association has done is they have given the Council for Art Education an opportunity to present the top awards to the Youth Art Month coordinators on stage at one of the General Assemblies. And I typically am the big mouth for Council for Art Education. And it's funny because everybody's like, oh, Chris, you really like being out in front of everybody. I do. I'm the sixth of six kids in my family. So, you know, you're always like, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. But truth be told, I also get really nervous. You know, this big stage, a lot of people, important stuff. But quite honestly, my passion for what we do on the Council for Art Education overrides that. And it is always so exciting to get up on that stage and give awards out to top Youth Art Month coordinators who really knocked it out of the park. And we continue to want more state coordinators to put their program, like the culmination of their program, like turn that report into us over the summer, because that attention, nobody's doing it for the award, but the cool part is you see all of these amazing things happen, and it connects you and puts you in a network of people. And then it is nice when you are recognized, to even at the level of an award of merit, which says, boy, you guys did a great job. Because let me tell you, sometimes from the top winner to the award of merit, sometimes is 4 or 5 points only. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, it gets down to like almost like a half a point and somebody's the winner. So really, really cool stuff.
Well, too, when you go to conference convention and you go in the exhibit hall, there are, right? So tell us about what you'll see in the exhibit hall.
Well, I got to tell you, this year it is going to be like super duper fun. We have some exciting things up our sleeve in terms of being a little bit more interactive. And so you'll for sure want to come by there. But teachers bring artwork, and we put artwork up. So you have a little mini gallery of student art, which is always fun. And then there's this little sidebar competition called the Youth Art Month State Flag Competition. Each state has a flag competition, and then they pick their state flag. And these flags represent not only Youth Art Month, but also their state. So often, you know, like Texas might often have a Lone Star on it. You know yes. what I mean? And Maine occasionally has a lobster, you know, not always, but I've already seen some come up on Youth Art Month's Facebook page or Instagram, or like it, different states have their own, and some of them have been crazy good. This year, the 2021-22 year was Your Art, Your Voice. And some of those were like just jaw dropping. It's fabulous.
And
they hang up, hang up along the exhibit as well. And so we'll have some teachers in there. We'll have some Council for Art Education members in the exhibit. We'll have some, like a video screen that shows the award winners programs and sort of like what we call like their scrapbook or their digital presentation of what they did, and just a lot of really good stuff.
That's so cool. What do you think the lasting impact of YAM is for students or teachers or other people outside in the community? What do you feel like the lasting impact is?
Well, I'm gonna tell you one thing I find tremendously interesting is when you talk to leaders at NAEA, it is uncanny how many of them have participated in Youth Art Month or have been a Youth Art Month coordinator. And many of them have been like a Grand Award, Claire Flanagan Award winner. And so that alone sort of says, boy, this is almost like a gateway to leadership, you know, like because it puts you in this position. So I think they see so many of the benefits of Youth Art Month that is something I see with teachers, and the networking is incredible. Like it's so much fun to see two competing states talking to each other about what they did, how they did it and organized it and that kind of stuff. Students, I mean, that is just obvious when you see one of the award shows, whether it's at the school level, regional level, or state level, or even when kids have come to win their, get recognized for their flag at nationals, that's pretty impressive as well. And community, just like I said, when you see a business that is supporting like a show or allowing art to be hung up for Youth Art Month in March, I love going into one of those businesses and hearing people talk about the art. And these are people that aren't teachers, that aren't necessarily even really understanding what Youth Art Month is, but they are enjoying that this art is hanging up, you know, or even like in the airports when they have Youth Art Month and you're walking through and you're hearing people talk about, oh, I love that. Oh, this is great. And so, you know, those are the things that we take so for granted as community members and even as parents, that this art is beautiful and a kid made it and it's great and this kid's really talented. And often I'm like, oh yeah, there's an amazing art teacher behind that, you know? You know, because we don't necessarily know that, you know, Chrissy was bawling her eyes out because I couldn't figure out how to do the tree. And you brought us down a notch and settled us down and, you know, gave us suggestions. And next thing you know, our tree is beautiful and we're the amazing artist and get all the credit.
Well, and in another vein of that too, is that one of the things, you know, our exhibit and our big night is, you know, our elementary night, we can have upwards of 800 people turn out, which is a big deal, but, and there's so much chatter and there's so much, you know, I love the pictures that are taken. Last year we added these arrows for like the little kids that they were like these wooden arrows, and it says check out my art, so that they could be pointing to their art in the gallery. We stole that from Holly Best Kincaid. Must say that was not us, but it was the biggest hit of the night. Was the parents using those, and I only had like four of them, and I needed this year there will be a lot more because the so parents cool. Yeah.
And I love that so much that tip was handed down, because that is just, those are the things that make a big difference.
Yep. Well, and they were just so, it made it a little bit more interactive. It was a fun kind of prop for the pictures, especially for the little kids when their art was high,
they're all the way,
you know, they're trying to like point to it. But the other thing I think I hear oftentimes when I'm walking through the gallery and listening to parents talk is, I didn't know my kiddo was an artist. I didn't know this was their thing. And they're just blown away. And I can think of one young lady that we had. She actually was a middle schooler when I met her. And I will never forget her mom at Youth Art Month. And she was bawling because...
Yes.
I had met this child. She was in this classroom all the time after school, and I would go visit this teacher as her coordinator, and this kiddo would always be there. And I'd say, and then I started looking at her sketchbook, and she was this amazing artist, and she was in eighth grade. And I said, what are you taking in ninth grade? And she wasn't going to take any art. And I said, oh, I'm going to call your mom. And I did. Right. No. And I did. And we had this whole long talk, and she said, I just didn't know. And then fast forward a year and a half, 2 years later, she's at the Youth Art Month, and her middle school teacher's there. Now her high school's teacher's there, and I'm there, and her mom is just bawling, gushing, because guess what? Now she's going to art school, and she's, beautiful. you know, and that's the kind of thing that the impact, right? And this mom was just so thankful to all of us that had this little tiny, and I said, I did nothing but make a phone call. That's all I did. But
you know what? It is that encouragement. And there is a teacher in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, Angie Zabo. And when I worked at NASCO, our buyer's daughter was in Angie's class, and the buyer's daughter was really nervous because she was concerned about getting into college and her grades. And so she's a pretty talented artist, and she thought, well, I'm going to drop art because, you know, I could probably use another class and blah, 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 blah. And Angie was like, you can't, like, you're too good. And yep. She's like, I promise you, I'll help you. She said, and if you get to the point where you are overloaded, overwhelmed, consumed, we'll drop it and I'll help you. I will help you and I will make this work for you. And if it doesn't, then, you know, we'll make sure that you achieve the goals that you want to for your senior year. And this girl not only excelled in all her AP classes, but she excelled in art. And she now is a graphic artist, you know, for a living, and still does like commission pieces. And, you know, I mean, I just love that kind of care, that this is more than just I'm teaching you art. Like, I care about who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. And you can take, you know, even if you don't ever get a job as an artist, you will always have this ability. And I love that. And that's really all of those beautiful stories and all of those things is at the heart of Youth Art Month.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the teachers, I just think of all the teachers that have impacted these children's lives. You know, I know it's Youth Art Month, but it at the core of it
is countless hours.
Yes. Yes.
Hours and devotion and time. And I'm pretty sure that no principal or school district ever said, oh, here's $1,000 bonus because you were the Youth Art Month coordinator. It just doesn't happen. I mean,
nope.
They almost have to beg when they get an award to go to the state competition. So nobody's doing it because they want, boy, if I could only add another 10 hours or 20 hours to my week and let me take a few weekends out of my month to hang these shows. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, exactly. It's the most selfless thing that art teachers do, one of the most selfless things that they do. And without that, none of it would happen. And I think it's so important that every Youth Art Month event, somebody has to stand up and say, thank you, art educators. Like, what you do makes a big, big difference. Like, I'm always like, hashtag world changers.
Yes. Yeah, I actually make the parents stand up and clap for their teachers.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm always like, you guys are so great and I'm so inspired. But hey, let's just remember who helped you along the way, who showed you how to use the supplies, who showed you how to use all the techniques, how to make it better, make it, you know, more interesting. And continues, you continue to grow and grow and grow. And, you know, high schoolers, you now know from your experience all the way from elementary, middle, all those art teachers that made a difference.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Sure is.
Oh, man. You know, we could probably talk with you for much longer, but as we come to the conclusion of our podcast, we ask our probably toughest question ever.
I don't know if ever.
No, maybe not.
But ever, we do get told it's kind of hard.
So for our listeners and just wanting you, if they're to, I'm sorry, just wanting you to kind of leave our listeners with some last bits of wisdom, some advice, maybe something we've talked about, or maybe something we haven't talked about yet, or adding on to something that we've talked about. What would you want to leave them with?
Well, I think for this year, 2023, is keep doing what you do. Like, the value in it is beyond important. It's easy to say, I'm not going to participate in Youth Art Month because it's hard, but the value of it is equally or even more important than it was ever. And while you all are frazzled and tired and beaten down and unappreciated for sure, behind these kids is you building them up, giving them value, making them feel important. And all of that adds to who they become as just even citizens of their school and their community. And they remember what they did in art, whether it was who their teacher is or what that project was or the experience that they had at Youth Art Month. And it's valuable and it means so much. And at the moment when you think this is such a thankless job, there is a kid out there that cannot wait to go to school on Monday because they have art. And for that, I am like, keep doing Youth Art Month, keep encouraging your colleagues to be part of it. Send them to the Council for Art Education, our website. I mean, I will tell you, I will take anybody's email, call, Facebook message, anything to encourage you to do what you do, because you are probably one of the most selfless humans on earth. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you is really what I want to say. And just keep changing lives and keep changing the world, you know, one scribble at a time.
Oh my gosh. Love it. Wow. Chris, thank you. Inspiring discussion. And I just really appreciate our time with you and that you were able to give time to this conversation. And we appreciate it.
Oh, you are so welcome. Clearly, I am passionate about it. And honestly, anytime I do anything like this or a state conference or a Youth Art Month event, I feel like it's a shot of motivation for me because I get to be part of, you know, I'm on the fringe of the amazingness. And so it's so much fun to, you know, to sort of deal those art materials to these amazing to these amazing rebels out there.
I went straight to that poster.
Oh, yeah.
that all our teachers love.
Yes.
Yes.
I was holding them for a friend.
I was just holding those paintbrushes for a friend.
I mean, it really is a gateway to so many amazing things. So love don't it. Stop doing it. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you. You know, sometimes you're just really glad you get to cross paths with somebody.
Yes. I mean, I was very happy just listening to her amount of passion, listening to her excitement about advocacy and art education advocacy is awesome.
She clearly loves art teachers. It's so beautiful and wonderful. And I, you know, when we met her at our Texas Art Education Conference, I was like, yep, she's our people. You know, just in that passion for the importance of what we do and the joy that we can bring into the world and the confidence that we give to kids. And I
the
think
whole thing.
Absolutely. And I think that's really at the core of what Youth Art Month is all about, is that, you know, I'll say it again, for me, Youth Art Month, and this is just my personal opinion, but for me, Youth Art Month is about uplifting children. You know, and really looking at those kids that pour their heart and soul into making their art. And it doesn't matter how, you know, don't get subjective about the beauty of it, get subjective about the growth and the love of the process, and that they're just all in, you know?
Well, and sometimes just giving those kids an opportunity to see themselves in a different way, because even though they're in your class, even though they may feel like, especially at the secondary level, they feel like, you know, they've been placed into this class, to show them some really amazing pieces or, you know, parts of their pieces that they've made just uplifts them. And then once they kind of develop that
creative confidence,
inside that confidence, or just that intrinsic willingness to want to do it just a little bit better, just a little bit more. And I think, and then say, hey, I want to use this piece in an art show. And then all of a sudden they're like, wait, what?
Yep.
So,
you know, Matt, we had a really great Twitter chat around this, and there's some good resources. Where would we find them?
Well, you can definitely look on the davisart.com site under free resources, where you'll find not only this podcast, but all of our podcasts, and all of them have a resource page linked to each episode.
Absolutely. And if they want to share this podcast with their friends, families, neighbors, community members,
yes,
or anyone else that might be interested in art education, how could they do that?
Or advocacy,
yeah,
of that. Well, I mean, you can, as always, direct them to the Davis Art site, or any of the platforms that you listen to your podcasts. And just, we would love for you to be able to share that out to anyone and everyone who might be interested in that. And
possibly,
and then, oh,
rate, yes, review,
rate, review,
and
like,
subscribe,
and subscribe. Leave us a review, because, you know, it helps to not only share all that amazing information, but just continues to build this podcast and make it just that much stronger. So
lastly, we would love it if you'd send us your ideas, your topics, your people you'd love to hear from, anyone that you want to host a Twitter chat, any ideas you have, just send them our way via our email, thecreativitydept@gmail.com, or share with us on social media @creativitydept. Thanks, everyone.